Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 10. It says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away." Now let's drop down to verse 20. "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. And Lord, just what a blessing it is to come and to fellowship. And Lord, just pray that you would speak to our hearts as we look at your word. Lord, help us to understand how we can know you better and live the life that you would want us to live. Lord, please speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of our lesson this morning is Seeking Godly Wisdom. And so, naturally here we're in the book of Proverbs looking at that. And in the world, there's a lot of definitions for wisdom. But what we're going to be focusing on today is godly wisdom, on what it is and how we can get it and what it should mean to our lives. Wisdom is not the same thing as knowledge. Most of you probably heard the saying, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. So, really wisdom, and knowledge are two different things, but they do go together. So we're going to look at some things today that we're going to look at worldly or godly wisdom, which is much different from worldly wisdom. And start by reading the first couple verses, looking at the first couple verses, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." So the early chapters here in Proverbs consist of a father, Solomon here, sharing wisdom with his son. And it's an example to us that we should be sharing the wisdom that we gain with those that we're responsible for, that we're around, especially our family members. And the example that Solomon had was his father. We see in Proverbs chapter 4, the verses not too long before this, in verse 3 it says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." So here he was following in the footsteps of his father who had taught him. Now, we know the story of Solomon, how when he became king that God asked him, what would you like? And he asked for wisdom, and God blessed him with wisdom. And the Bible tells us he's the wisest man that ever lived. But here we see that he's trying to teach that wisdom to his son. And, a lot of times as young people, they often think that they've already got things figured out, and they don't necessarily want instruction. I think back to when I was in high school and college, I thought I knew it all. I thought I had everything figured out by the time I was 20 years old. You're in college, I was making decent grades, and, no one else in my family at that point had been to college. Here I'm the most educated thing, and, I'm so great. And then you get out into the real world, and you start realizing how much you don't know. And You know, as the older you get, you start realizing how much your parents did know and how wise they were. You know, I have more education. I'll be honest. I have more education, a lot more education than my father ever had. But at this point in my life, I still don't believe I have the wisdom that my father had. You know, he was such an example to me. He was so faithful to church, and you know, everything was simple to him. It was like he knew he was supposed to serve the Lord, and he lived his life simply to be a blessing to other people. And he gave so much to other people. And you know, I realized looking back that you know, I may be more educated, but he was so much more wiser than I am today. And I'm just thankful that the Lord gave me a father that raised me in his word, in church, and was so faithful. And here in these verses, it's implying there that we need to do that as well. So, you know, while knowledge and education are very important, it is very important, but we need to have, we're not going to have wisdom without experience. And that comes from hearing it from others and living in ourselves as well. Having that experience of blessings and corrections, things where we fail. That's where wisdom comes from. And it's important that, you know, if you're parents, that you try to teach that to your kids. But it's also important that we spend time in God's Word learning that. And we see here in the second verse there, it says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. Solomon is confident in what he's teaching his son here. And that's because what he's teaching him is God's word and the things that his father taught him that was where he'd seen God working in his life. And he had so many examples to share with his son, and he was able to share God's faithfulness to be able to build wisdom in his son there. And there, and we see here it says, I have led thee in right paths. So and it also talks about the way of wisdom. So the way and the path that we're running here, you think about our message last week, we talked about running the race. Well, this path of wisdom is the course that we're running. We should be running, that course should be a way of wisdom and a way of righteousness. So, you know, last week we talked about being diligent and staying on that course. Well, that course needs to be a way of that's wise and righteous. And here we're following, you know, just the leading here. So we see here how Solomon's saying how important it is for us to teach those that come behind. We know that Moses told the people, the Israelites in the wilderness, that they were supposed to teach their children the law and God's word as they grew up, to pass it on. And that should be the heritage that we leave to our children, is sharing as much wisdom and God's faithfulness in their lives, and helping them to choose the right paths as well, the right way. So we see there in the first couple of verses, it talks about how important it is to teach. We see that you know, a father is teaching. The next verses here, we see how important it is. In verse 12, it says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Here, when I first read that verse, you know, I misread it a little bit. It says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And I didn't look closely at that word, and I think straitened just means straight. Well, don't I want my feet to be straight? But that's not that word. Straightened is that spelled S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. This is S-T-R-A-I-T. So think like a straight, like a boat going through a strait where the water narrows. It's talking about what that straightened means. It means narrow or impeded. So he's saying there, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be impeded. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. So he's talking about if you're wise, if you follow God's wisdom, you're able to go without being impeded. You can run and not stumble if you're trusting in the Lord and you're trusting in His wisdom. So, now this doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy, but it does mean that we're going to be able to stay on course if we keep our eyes on the Lord, because Satan, he's going to try his best to get us off of that course. He's going to try to get us to stumble, to get off in the weeds and the rocks, and get in places where we're going to stumble and fall and try to keep us off course. But if we're trusting in God's wisdom, we can stay straight on that course. And here in the next part it says, take hold fast of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. So here he's reminding us, we've got to hold on to wisdom. It's not not something that we acquire once. We read a few verses, we're wise, and then we go on. No, it's something that we have to continually work on, and we need to hold on to that tightly. Now, think about who's writing this. This is Solomon. God used Solomon to write this. And, you know, this is one of the great things about God's word is when you look at the people that he used, they weren't perfect. And you think Solomon wrote these words saying that we need to hold on to instruction, not let her go, for she is thy life. And you think about it. This is Solomon. He's given this direction to his son. And what happened in Solomon's life? He let go of that wisdom. He got off the path. And we see what were the results with his son. His son was even further off the path. But, you know, God shares us that, you know, as humans, we have weaknesses. But we're not looking, even though God said Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, we don't need Solomon's wisdom. We need God's wisdom. And we can trust everything that is in his word, because even though Solomon failed, God's word will not fail. And God used Solomon to write this at a point of his life when he was being faithful. And he was living in God's wisdom. So here we see that we're called not only to learn his ways, but we're to walk in them. We're supposed to learn wisdom, and we're supposed to live it. And we can learn that from others' examples. We can learn it. We learn it from God's word where he teaches us. And, you know, we don't just get it in our minds. We need to live it and put it into practice every day, because that's where, that's what true wisdom is when we put it into practice. You know, in the next verses, he gives some warnings. And in verse 14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. So here he gives us a warning. It says, don't follow others that would lead you off course into sin. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord and stay faithful to him. Don't follow those that would lead you astray. And he says, not only do we don't go in their way, we're supposed to avoid them altogether. He says, he wants us to get away from those who would lead you away from sin. You know, the first example that comes to my mind is Joseph. When Potiphar's wife there tried to tempt him to do evil, what did he do? Did he think about it? No, he just ran. He ran away from her as quickly as he could. That was a situation where, you know, he really had no control of what was going on around him. Someone came his way trying to lead him into sin, and he ran away from it. And God, that's what wisdom is. God wants us to run away from sin. And he didn't just know it, he did it. He ran away there. And, you know, ironically, we look at Solomon's life again, and, you know, he did not follow these warnings right here, where it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. What did Solomon do? He not only did he disobey God by marrying many women, he disobeyed God by marrying women and bringing people into his life that worshiped other gods, that eventually led him astray and led him to turn away from the Lord. So, you know, not only does God give us the direction in his word and Proverbs on what we should do, he even used the man he used to pen it to give us an example of what we shouldn't do there. again, that's just a wonderful way that God shows us so much in His Word. And here He's given us, we need to teach others, we need to learn from it, and we need to be warned about the things that could lead us away. And then we jump down, now we're going to jump down to verse 20 and see some things there that He's going to exhort us to heed the instruction there. In verse 20 it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." So here He's a reminder. He's letting him know how serious this is to have wisdom in your life, to choose the wisdom of God. He's saying, listen carefully. Pay close attention. He's just like, listen to what I have to say. And once you hear it, you need to be diligent in keeping it by keeping a lookout on those things that would lead you away from wisdom. He says, "My son, attend my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes." So there he's saying, be watching out for those things that would lead you astray. But I think even more literally here, when he's saying, let them not depart from thine eyes, that means spending time in God's word, putting our eyes in God's word, spending time there, learning it, and getting it in our heart. And when he says keep it in your heart, that means make it a part of you. And we need to do that by again, listening to good examples, but spending time in God's word, getting as much in that as our heart as possible, and eventually, not just keeping it there, but living it out in our lives. So there, he's giving here some, we need to follow this instruction. And then in verse 22, it says, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." So there's also a well-being part there in wisdom. See, wisdom, helps us to make good choices. And really, it's in all parts of our lives. So if we seek wisdom from God, we're going to try to make choices that are going to help us serve God better. And that includes physical things, mental things, and spiritual things. You think about what we eat. Does that really matter? Yes, it does matter. God wants us to be wise in what we eat and how we exercise and doing things in moderation, because and you find this out the older you get. When you're young, you can eat anything and it doesn't affect you as much. But if you keep doing that, eventually you get to my age and as most of you start finding things that you're not able to eat anymore because of decisions you made in the past. And, life gets harder because of some of those decisions for your health-wise. And now you see how, the older you get, you see how important it is to watch what you eat, to, make sure you get enough exercise, because if you're always weak, if you're always tired, if you're not feeling well, it's really hard to serve the Lord. So we need to do our best to be available to Him. And wisdom helps us to see that. Again, it helps if getting the rest that we need helps keep our mind fresh. Don't come to church on Sunday morning when you stayed up all night watching movies or something. You got to make good choices. And when we seek to make God the main part of our life, and we seek wisdom, we're going to seek to make those good choices and be prepared for when He wants to use us so that we are available. And we do these things, it's going to improve us, not just spiritually, but physically and mentally as well, where we're more prepared to serve Him. So wisdom has all, living God's wisdom has all kinds of advantages that, if we just trust in Him, stay faithful to Him, it's going to be a blessing to us. Next, here in verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So, wisdom, it teaches us to be diligent, to keep our heart aligned with God, to protect us, not just from outside evils, but from evils inside too. We're all familiar with Jeremiah 17:9. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So there it talks about our heart is evil, and yet God's telling us to protect our heart. In Matthew 15:18, it says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." So, you know, what are we supposed to do? If that's what's in our heart, you know, how are we supposed to keep our heart? Well, the key there is making sure that, first of all, that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, but allowing His Spirit to rule in our heart. Because our flesh, those are the thing, those bad things that we just read about, that's what our heart, our flesh wants to do. But we need to let God's Spirit rule in our heart, because, you know, the direction of our life, it's going to hinge on who's in control. Is our flesh in control, or is God's Spirit in control? And wisdom reminds us that we need to make sure that God's Spirit is in control of our hearts. And we're not trying to do things in our own wisdom, but doing things in God's wisdom. So the question this morning is the Holy Spirit in control of your heart? Or are your own desires what's in control? We need to examine ourselves and make sure that we are allowing God's Holy Spirit to control our lives. So what does that have to do with our, you know, our daily conduct? The verses here at the end here we're going to take a look at how to guard your heart and different ways that God gives us to guard our heart. And it starts there in verse 24. It says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So what does it look like to guard your heart? The first example here he talks about is our mouth. And in Matthew 12, verse 34, it says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned." So here we see how important it is that our words are to showing what's really in our heart. Now, there's some people that, you know, they can say things that sound really good. And you think, wow, that person really is serving the Lord or knows what they're doing, or, you know, but is that really what's in their heart? I think one of the key verses in those verses we just read in Matthew are, he says that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account. You know, a lot of people, when they're out in public, they give a face of, you know, that they're good, that they're, whether it's serving the Lord or, even in worldly things, they like to look good when they're speaking. They're not going to say evil things out in the open. But here, God knows what the idle words are that we talk about. In my job, I have to do a lot of purchasing. I have to buy a lot of different things. And I have salesmen coming into my office every day. And they all come in and they tell me how wonderful their products are and how reliable they are. And every one of them, when they come in, it sounds really good. Wow, that's exactly what we need. But usually on all the things that I buy, we tend to build like long-term relationships. It's not a one-time thing. It's something I need there on time, every week. I need it there when I need it. I need someone that's reliable. I make it a point. I get to know these salesmen there. I mean, you know, I talk to them a lot. I get to know them. And, you know, not just talking about the product, but, you know, we'll get into a lot of small talk sometimes. And that's when you really learn about people, is when you start just having conversations with them away from what they're really there for. And you learn, a lot of them, I'll hear them, they'll start bad-mouthing other people or things like that, and they're not going to say anything bad about me in front of me, but I hear them talking about other people, and makes you wonder, so what are they saying about me when they're not here? So that's the idle talk that kind of betrays their character. When you get to know someone, you really know what they're like by when you spend time with them and speak with them, because eventually that facade goes away, and you hear what they're really about. And God wants us to, God's telling us here that what comes out in our mouth shows what we really are. And we need to be wary of that. In James 3, verse 2, it says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." So here he's telling us we need to work on our speech. Don't be offensive to people. Show God's love to others and make sure it's real. Because that's when we show our maturity. And it also shows that we're letting God's Spirit live in our life when our speech is consistent, showing God's Spirit work in our lives. When we're not, when we don't slip up in idle talk and, start saying things that we know wouldn't be pleasing to God. So our mouth reveals what's in our heart. So, we need to, first of all, make sure the Lord God's Spirit is controlling our heart and then watching everything that we're saying. And we should be working to replace, wicked words with those that build up and that edify others. And, when we work on that, and we do it because, not because we want people to think good about us, but because we want people to see how wonderful God is, then we're making it more solid that we're serving, letting God's Spirit lead our lives. The next part there talks about the eyes. It says, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee." So here he's reminding us, remember, we're talking about wisdom here, is keeping our eyes on the path before us. Don't get distracted by things that are, off the path that God wants us on. We need to stay faithful to God's word and stay on that path, because, we're going to look around and we're going to see wicked people doing really well. We're going to see them making money, having nice cars, nice homes. You look on the internet or you see their lives are perfect. That's what it looks like anyway. That's not the case. But when we look around, that's what our flesh is going to see. These people are totally ignoring God in their lives, and they're being blessed. And that's going to be tempting to us to go, well, I want to do what they're doing. But, we're going to see paths that would be easier to take. Serving the Lord is not, always the easiest thing to do, to make a decision. It is if we're walking with him and we realize, what we're living for. But when we're living here in this flesh, on this earth, sometimes it feels hard. And we need to make sure that we're keeping our eyes on the path before us. And that comes, again, from spending time in God's word and knowing what he wants us to do. So here he talked about our mouth and our eyes. And the last part here, he says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So here, we need to make sure, first of all, if we make sure that we're keeping our eyes on the right path, we need to make sure our feet are following that path that we're looking down, that we're doing that. Because we need to make sure that our actions are keeping on that righteous path. We can know it. We can know we're supposed to go this way. But still, even though we know we're supposed to do something, how often do we get distracted and our feet go off in another direction from the way we know we should go? So we need to make sure that our actions stay on the right path. And if we do get off that path, which we will, because we're sinners. We need to make sure we get right back on it as soon as possible, because the longer we stay there, the harder it is to get back on the path serving the Lord. So we need to, so how do we guard our heart? We need to control our tongues, our eyes, and our feet. Make sure that we're controlling what's in our heart and what's coming out, what people see in us. Make sure we're following the right path and making sure that we're staying on that path and not getting distracted. So, you know, as we looked at these verses here that we read this morning, there was a couple verses that the lesson here had to skip over. But as I was reading them and looking at them, these verses 18 and 19, I think, are too important to leave out of this lesson this morning. In Proverbs 4, verse 18, it says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." So, here, if we want wisdom, we must put God's word into action in our lives. It's not just knowing it, it's putting it into action and living what he wants us to here. And the longer that we stay on that course, the brighter his light is in guiding us. There it talks about there, that shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So the longer we stay faithful to him, the brighter that light is that's guiding us. And we can see, you know, that path more clearly than ever before if we just continue to stay faithful to him and stay on that path that he's put before us. But if we get off course, he makes it clear here that we're going to be stumbling in the dark. And when you get in the dark, sometimes it's hard to find your way back to where you're supposed to be. You need to make sure that we're staying on the course where that path is getting brighter and brighter, and where it gets harder for us to get off that course. The closer we get to the Lord, the harder it's going to be for us to get off that path and that course that we should be on. So, you know, as we close this morning, we see that God's word is not just an instruction manual. He doesn't just give us a list of telling us what is right and what is wrong. He gives us examples, first of all, of those that have succeeded and failed. And a lot of times that's the same person. You think of David and Moses and Abraham. He gives us situations where they succeeded and failed. And we learned wisdom from seeing their examples there. But most importantly, he's given us his Holy Spirit to live in our lives and to help us understand your word, his word, and to learn from it and to live it. See, so to me, wisdom is knowing what God wants me to do, and by faith in his word and the help of the Holy Spirit in doing it. To me, that's what wisdom is. It's to know what God wants me to do and allowing his Spirit to do that in my life. So, you know, I hope that, you know, as we look at this and we see, you know, we've been learning, you know, how important it is to stay faithful to God, stay in the race, stay on the way, stay on the path. Making sure that we have God's wisdom is very important. And again, that comes by learning his word, seeing the examples he's given us, and not just knowing it, but putting it into action in our life. And that's where wisdom comes from. And you think back, how many of you have ever said in your life, I wish I knew then what I know now? We've all been there. And you know what? Where we are now, you know, we need to continue to grow. We never reach perfect, you know, oh, I've got all the wisdom. No, it's constant growing and learning and getting wisdom. And we need to be faithful to God, be true to his word, and allow his Spirit to work in our lives. And that's where we'll have wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. And Lord, I pray that as we follow the path that you put before each of us, Lord, that we would stay on that path, that we would be wise, that we would spend time in your word, allowing your Spirit to speak to us and guide us. And Lord, that we would stay faithful and put the directions your Spirit's given us into action in this world. Lord, help us to be faithful to you And Lord, I just pray that you would keep our paths bright. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.